Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to another fresh episode of Pull Up a Seat. I am Alex Starr, and I have my first ever Skype podcast up today with these really cool Canadian cats. Five of them have a YouTube channel and videos that have garnered over 300,000 hits called Generation Why Not. That's the letter Y. And they even just made a really poignant and powerful short movie involving the Paris attacks, where they went into the Montreal subway, I believe it was Montreal, and they held up different signs, one being a Muslim, one was from New York, one was from Paris, I believe, they held up signs talking about how they're still brothers, and it was really pretty powerful, and they had all types of people coming up to them, and it's just a short little 3-minute video. I really enjoyed it. So check out their channel. Leave me some more reviews and subscriptions if you fancy, and I will be checking in with you guys soon. Thanks for listening, and hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Toodaloo.
Welcome to Pull Up a Seat with your host, Alex Starr.
So I was just checking out your guys' YouTube page. All you listeners that haven't checked them out yet, Generation Why Not, that's with a letter, not the word. And it's got over 320,000 views posted a month ago. So check them out on YouTube if you haven't already. And I first heard about you guys because a friend of mine, since I'm near San Francisco, she posted the local news covering you guys when you went to the airport and greeted people. And I was like, oh, damn, that's pretty cool, man. So how did this whole project get started? What was the catalyst that kind of pushed this forward?
It starts 4 months ago. It was May, or I guess 5 months ago, when it was May 2015, and Thomas and I, Thomas had just graduated from university, and I had graduated a year before, and we were working part-time jobs, and we were super frustrated with sort of where our lives were going. We were in our early 20s, and we sort of felt directionless. We felt like whatever job we would get, whether it was like a 9-to-5 or something that our parents wanted us to do, it wouldn't be what we really wanted. Like, it wouldn't satisfy us the way we wanted it to. And we'd always been interested in YouTube. Like, we've been obsessed with YouTube for a while. Thomas has been a video editor for a few years, and nice. And I have my own clothing company. And so we were already sort of entrepreneurs, and we wanted to do something different, something that scared us, that because we felt sort of stuck. So the main thing was getting out of our comfort zones. We came up with a list of things we wanted to do, and that's when Amar came in. Thomas met Amar at a party.
So fucking classic.
Yeah. They met in May. And Amar had a startup, and he was supposed to go to New York to get to speak with investors. And 2 days before he was leaving for New York, Thomas offered his couch because he didn't have a place to stay. And they had met literally a week before. And that's when Project 30 was getting planned. Amar helped us with the planning and the video making and the storytelling. And we were like, holy shit, this guy has to stay.
Are you kind of like the marketer, Amar?
Amar is he's the social butterfly. Like, he networker. He knows everybody and just gets in touch with everybody.
Nice.
He's everybody's favorite. He's the funniest one.
Well, all you guys seem like you were pretty outgoing in those videos. I mean,
yeah. It's definitely, we have to put on a lot of energy for the show, and a lot of the stuff we do is very exhilarating. Yeah. But behind the scenes, it's obviously a lot of work and a lot of stress and stuff. But so we definitely have the energy to do it. So Amar met Thomas. He sat on the couch. He helped us spend it, and the day before he was to go meet with the investors in New York, he was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going.
No way.
And decided to stick around for the 30-day project.
You regret it?
Hell no.
Yeah.
I think it was. I think it was the right decision, and I think my life would have been completely different if I had gone for that. I don't know. I knew I had met the guys literally like not just a week before, and I just felt that this is my right place, and these are the people I should be around.
Nice. When you feel it, you feel it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
You can't deny that. So, what do you guys like with this project, the 30 days? What was? I mean, I know the motivation, but how do you feel now when you first started versus now after doing 30 days of continually breaking out of your comfort zones? What's the difference in your life? Because I got to say, when I watched the video, which once again, check it out, listeners, if you haven't seen it yet, two things came to my mind. Number one, I don't do enough to break out of my comfort zone. Number two, what the fuck can I do to break more out of my comfort zone? So how did you guys choose? How did you decide? And then, I mean, how do you feel now compared to when you started doing all those things?
It was a very spontaneous process with picking what we do. So some of the things were planned from the pre-production. From the list that Matt and Thomas had prepared, which we ended up doing, I think like 17 or 16 items, and the rest were just very spontaneous, we'd just go out planning to do something, and would see something else, and was like, we're gonna do this for tomorrow's episode. And actually, our most viewed episodes, the most spontaneous, and the ones we came up with ideas on the spot. So,
which ones?
Signing the Chelsea players, John Terry and Matic. We were on our way to film another episode, and then we saw that there's a lineup in front of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Montreal, and we just like pop up there to ask what's going on, and then it's like the fans were just lining up waiting for the bus to arrive, and we're like, this is gonna be the episode. We didn't know what exactly it was gonna be yet, but we're gonna do something here, and this is gonna be a good episode. Sneaking in or meeting them, and then it ended up that we made up an imaginary team and we signed the players to Earth, which is crazy to think back about this whole incident. The airport one was decided. So we were flying to San Francisco because we were filming a promo video for a startup based out of, it's called Blueboard, and they offered us to be James Bond for a day. So we're gonna fly to San Francisco for the weekend, and we needed an episode to post on Monday. So we wanted something that wouldn't require a lot of editing, because it usually takes us some time from, well, for the Monday, like during Project 30, it would take somewhere from like 10 to 12 hours, but for the every Monday video, it takes somewhere from 25 to 30 hours of editing.
Yeah, they're pretty slick videos, yeah.
Yeah, and we didn't have the 25 to 30 hours to spare that weekend because we're going to be filming the promo video for the startup. So we just, Matt loves the movie Love Actually, and he was just in the room, and he was like, yo, have you ever seen Love Actually? I was like, nope. And then he shows me the trailer, and then Thomas comes in and like, we should do that. We should just greet strangers at the airport. That would be such a good thing to do. Like, at this point, they were about to go to bed, and I was just gonna pull an all-nighter because I hate sleeping on. I like sleeping on planes. And then next morning, we arrived, and we asked the person who was gonna come pick us up from the airport to grab like a poster and a marker, and we just wrote, you know, "Welcome to SF."
Yeah, that's what I really like about what the mix you guys have is super eclectic. You're doing crazy things. You want to go surfing in Montreal, but then you're passing out roses to people on the sidewalk. So it's this really cool mix of just things to do for fun and then some, you know, altruism sprinkled in there. It's a cool mix.
I think our generation is very altruistic and very charitable. We're always, you know, like if you think about the percentage of volunteers in any charity event, you'll mostly see it's young people. I think we are very conscious and very aware about like the problems that, you know, that we are, or the issues that are like the world is facing right now, whether it's environmental or just economic. And I feel this is a good way to identify or promote for our generation, as, you know, we like giving back, and it's a part of our like DNA and generation. Why not? Because, you know, in 3 months we are where we are today, which we're very happy with the progress, but we couldn't have made it without all the people who sent us messages from around the world saying like, we identify with you guys, love what you're doing. So giving back is always going to be like a part of what we do. We will go do crazy things, but we'll always try to give back to the communities we're interacting with, because it's very important to us, and it's our generation.
Sure. Well said, man. Couldn't have said it better myself. That's perfect. Yeah, I think Generation Y gets a bad rap. How old are you guys?
23 and 21.
Okay, I'm 26. So. Okay, yeah. Generation Y gets a bad rap, like you guys said, but I think always the older generation is always, look at these lazy kids down here. They don't know the meaning of hard work. I feel like that happens every time. The only difference is that now we have the internet. I mean, we have YouTube. I'm Skyping you guys. I'm about to post this.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been seen before in the world, you know? So there's these incredible advancements that I think really have taken our parents aback, and they're just these entitled kids. They don't even know the meaning of hard work. Well, we want to, and we do. There's different mediums. There's different pathways now than when you guys were growing up. And
so perfectly. Yeah.
It's hard. But it's really cool, too.
We had just graduated from university. We told our parents that we were going to start making YouTube videos with, like, no subscribers, nothing.
Yeah.
What did we like, say? Did I just pay for your education?
Yeah.
Are you crazy? But now, like, they've come around, like, at least a little bit, they've come around to it. Not entirely yet, so we still have to prove them wrong.
Well, I was going to say, I had just looked at your channel here, and at the very bottom, welcome, da-da-da. P.S., for those that are wondering, we all have part-time jobs to pay for rent and fund the show.
Yeah.
And it's necessary to say that kind of stuff, huh? Because you get people that just say, you entitled right. guys, don't know any of your backstory, you guys are entitled, just going out there, just la-di-da.
Just like rich suburban kids, pretty much, yeah.
Right. You got a lot of feedback about that, or?
Yeah, so that video that you mentioned, the one with over 300,000 views, that went on the front page of Reddit, and a bunch of people on Reddit just started sort of hating on us, and they were saying, like, look at these, like you're saying, like, entitled kids.
Yeah.
That they obviously, like, got money from their parents, they can do this kind of stuff, like, I would never be able to do it. But the truth is I worked for 2 years to save up the money to be able to spend that summer doing it.
Right.
And I'm still living off that money that I've made just to keep making these videos. Amar is a scholarship, and Thomas has a part-time job. So at the end of the day, like, yeah, it's not everything you see on camera, and that's
sure, –
it's people think our lives is just like the awesomeness that we
– Sure, yeah.
We show. And this is not just like the problem with you know, our YouTube show. This is the problem with social media in general. People just post the highlights. People post the 5%, you know, awesome time that they have in their lives and they miss out on the 95% of like the miserable hard work.
Or just mundane, just getting up and eating breakfast. Yeah. It's not that cool.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like a new direction we'll be taking with the channel is actually show people the not very awesome part, or the part we're struggling with, the brainstorming and telling, reflecting on the experiences that we go through. Because for some people, it seems like it's very like, okay, you ate ghost peppers. That's cool. Like, how did that change the image of like Generation Y when it comes to that, like, right. about our perception with the elders?
Right.
But like the thing is, it's just new experiences. It's getting in the habit of saying. Yes, saying yes to new things, to trying new things.
Yeah.
Because eventually, like when we get into the habit of just not being afraid to say yes to what, to anything, to eating scorpions, to eating bugs, to eating ghost peppers, we'll eventually say yes to the bigger things that require, you know, more risk. So it's just practice. Like mm-hmm. we're practicing with the smaller things, and we're hoping that, you know, as the show gets bigger and as we have more budget, we can do bigger things. But again, that was never like our plan is not to do the most ridiculous things and the most unattainable things, because a big part of what people like us for is the fact that what we do can be done by anyone. It's just we strive to tell a good story and keep it entertaining for our viewers. So,
man, you are the marketer, aren't you?
Listen to that. Damn,
I just wanna All right, I'm sold, dude. I'll buy whatever you have.
Thank you.
No, that's a really good point, man, because it is easy for people that look, people can say, I got a full-time job. I got two kids. That's cool. You guys can all go break out of your comfort zone. What the hell am I supposed to do over here? I'm busy. And I noticed with myself that it's sometimes as easy as when I go in to get lunch and I look at what I want to get for lunch and I instinctually just want to order the same thing, like a chicken BLT. I love those things. So I order them 90% of the fucking time for lunch. I order a BLT.
Yeah.
And then you realize that, you know what, maybe I could just try something a little different today. And I think it's as simple as that, you know?
For sure. And it's really, it's getting into the habit of it. Like when we were doing it every day for 30 days, I've almost lost it a little bit because we were only doing it once a week now. When you're doing it every single day and just forcing yourself to get out of your comfort zone, like going to talk to a stranger or like asking that girl out or like trying that new thing on the menu is more of a habit. Like it's less terrifying, which makes life way more exciting. And it's a constant flow of exhilaration. So for us, that's why we're going to do Project 30 again. We're going to go to India.
Okay, yeah. So what's up next? Yeah, I want to hear about this.
So we're going to keep making videos Monday and hopefully every Thursday as well. And in the meantime, we're gathering up sponsors and we're going to go to hopefully to India in early February where we'll be doing 30 things in 30 days there that we've never done before, which is in a place we've never been, which is completely crazy. And to be honest, like even during the show in Montreal that we did in our own hometown, it was so hard, even to find like new things to do. It was always like spontaneous and on the spot. So now going to a different place with very little planning almost is going to be a challenge, but we're stoked.
Yeah. And, I think a big selling point for, you know, Project 30, it's 30 days. People can identify with 30 days. It's just a month, whether it's your summer vacation or your vacation from work, that's your annual time off. Like people can just go off and do things. And like what I'm saying is like a month, anyone can do a month off. If you're still in school, you can do the month of adventure in your summer vacation. If you have a job, you can, you know, maybe compress it and just do it in a week. Yeah. But we want to show people that it is doable. And once you get into the habit of it, it will make a lot of difference. We want to keep doing Project 30s because I think this is what worked with us at the beginning. We don't want to just be like, you know, the classic YouTubers speaking to the camera stay in our apartment. It's very empty.
India's gonna, that's a fantastic choice. You can walk around the streets there and you're going to have, you're breaking out of your comfort zone walking. No, I haven't been over there. That's my next stop though. Next winter is I want to go over there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. If you guys come to Central America this winter, let me know. I'll be down there.
Where are you going to be?
Guatemala, mainly.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you guys come down there. Yeah, that's fantastic because once you get into the I think you're right, Matt. It's a habit, right? Like, it's a skill that you acquire.
Yeah.
You develop it.
It takes time, for sure. And it's crazy to think about just the amount of people we've met just through it. Looking back on the 30 days, there are people that show up in the earlier episodes that are now our really good friends.
Really?
And the opportunities now that we're offered just by pushing ourselves out there and asking somebody for something. Now we know people that can connect us with other people and allow us to do new things.
Right. It really pushes forward.
It's snowballing, which is why the project has grown so fast in 3 months, it's fun. It's crazy.
So where do you guys see yourself? Where do you see it going from here? Just keep doing 30 days in different locations and.
Yep. So the main focus is the YouTube channel. We'll be doing hopefully 2 or 3 Project 30s every year. But right now we're in talks with a production company to make a TV show on the side. We can't really talk about what it would be, but it'd be kind of similar to what we're doing. And it would allow us to still make the YouTube channel, but also do this and get paid as well, which would be.
Which would be an investment back into the channel. Like, it's not we're gonna make which, it
yeah,
big
it would anything. Just allow us to pay bills without having to have part-time jobs.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah,
that's perfect. What were you guys' favorite things that you did in the Project 30?
Yeah,
I for me it's the Chelsea signing the Chelsea players because it was Ocean 11 kind of like.
Cool. What about you, Matt?
For me, I modeled at Toronto Fashion Week.
Was you in the green?
Yeah.
Nice, man.
And I thought it was going to be a lot easier than it was, but the pressure of like losing weight, of like being tall, which I'm not that tall, and like conforming to all these looks that they require from you, it was not what I expected. Like I felt a lot more stressed out and scared to screw up this walk in front of all these people. Because the fashion show is huge, so It's kind of terrifying.
How did you get into that? How did you even get accepted? That's another thing. I mean, not just, you're a good-looking guy, but yeah. How do you get into the modeling world, you know?
So, yeah, definitely had never modeled before, but again, it was the case of asking somebody. So Amar was on – when we were traveling to New York for one of our episodes, Amar was just on a rooftop with one of our friends we had just met, and he was asking, like, what do you do? And just by asking him, the guy was like, oh, I model. And Amar was like, oh, dope. Like, we – I mean, that'd be a cool episode. Like, maybe we could – that, and then literally, you know, a month later, we're in freaking Toronto with all these like supermodels about to walk.
Crazy, man! It's crazy.
Yeah, And the funny thing is too, what's great about the project is it allows you to empathize. So I had always sort of made like not taken models very seriously, or the profession. I thought it was kind of a joke. Like it's the easiest thing. All you have to do is look good. But just talking with them and sort of. And sort of seeing what they go through, just like they don't get paid. Like unless you're a supermodel, you rarely get paid. Right. You have full time jobs. Like right. It's kind of like being an actor. Like the success rate is very low. So you sort of like whatever profession we sort of try out or whatever things we try out, we learn to sort of see it from their side, which is it opens the world up to you and you sort of understand people a lot better, which is cool.
Yeah, And one of the main like takeaways from like the entire journey so far is always think like what more can you ask for in terms of just like the people around you. Like when we were going to San Francisco, Matt and I asked to be upgraded to first class. I had never flown first class before. I never afford first class, and we're just like I flew first class for the first time just because I asked.
What airline was that? I gotta try that out.
What was it? It was from Montreal to Newark.
It was United.
United.
Okay.
It's just, yeah, go in with the good energy, with, you know, just send it. Like when you display it, the world will see it and you will, you know, like good things are going to happen and or not. Like what matters is just your
attitude.
Like we don't want to make it seem like it's the most like, yeah, just go out and send it and people are going to say, oh, always say yes. But thing is, the more like the no's you get, make the yeses more valuable. Because if you're consistent, then you know you get 7 no's and 3 yeses. But when the 3 yeses happen, it's going to be the best time ever.
Yeah, and you don't notice the failings as much.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just another step.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Let's end it on that, man. I know you guys are busy. I got to get somewhere too. Everyone where they can find you. What's coming next? I know you can't talk about the show. Maybe some network is going to be on. Give us some info. Come on.
Hell yeah. If you go on YouTube, it's Generation Space Y, the letter Y, not. So you just look on YouTube and you'll find it. On Instagram, it's generation.ynot.
And Snapchat, it's generation.ynot.
Yeah.
And Facebook, it's generation Y.
It doesn't change much. Yeah.
And what's the timeline for the India video?
So February is when... Well, the 30 videos are going to – we'll film the 30 videos in February and release them all in March. And then until then, it's going to be 1 to 2 episodes every week. So of us getting out of our comfort zones, it's going to be dope.
Yeah, that is. That's going to be way cool. Hold on. Let me take a
– Yeah, and last thing for people listening right now, it's like our intention with Generation Why Not, like this is not just like a, you know, an entertaining YouTube show. We want this to be a lifestyle. We want to launch this as a movement. We want people to adopt the mindset of, you know, hustling and getting out of their comfort zones and never taking no for an answer. This is really what we're going for. We're not really like our priority is just sending this message out there, and not necessarily like the content we produce at this point. The content is just our framework to send this message out. So like the most important thing in what we do is our message. And this is what we want people to get on board with more than just like obsess over. It's like the content we create or us as people.
Yeah. And not so much about that. Oh, look at these guys. They're going to India. I'm so jealous. But the fact that what you guys are portraying, everyone can incorporate into their lives.
Sure. Yeah,
that's a beautiful thing. Yeah, that's way cool. I'm stoked to see India.
Yeah,
super stoked to see that video.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
there's gonna be 30 of them. So,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, and then you guys will compile them, I'm sure, into a
exact
grand finale at the end.
Yeah,
Yeah, right on. Cool. Well, if I ever get up to Montreal, I'll
meet you guys. Oh, welcome anytime, dude.
Yeah. Well,
it was great talking to you.
Yeah, you guys too. And I'll message you guys. We'll talk some more on that. And I'll post this in the next couple weeks.
Perfect.
And besides that, look forward to seeing the videos, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, sir.
All right, later, guys.
Ciao.